richness to them, and they're part of who we are as a like fabric of humanity, and cultures throughout time have used stories to prove points, to entertain, and Jesus especially used stories to prove those points, those parables that we all know and love now, to talk about the kingdom of God and talk about God and talk about forgiveness. He used stories to tell those things. We all have stories that have informed our lives, and our life itself is a story of God's love throughout time. That's what the Bible is too. From the beginning of time all the way up through Revelation, the things that have not happened yet, it's a story arc of God's love for humanity. Now, every story has some commonalities. The stories can be vastly different, but there are some things that are common to each story. And so what we're doing is going through each of these things. And the first thing is there's an author. There's always an author to the story, even if we don't know who that is. Somebody had to start that story. Somebody had to bring that up and develop it. And then there's a setting. There's a place where it happens. We talked about this last week. There's just like this an environment or an atmosphere where the things happen in the story, and that atmosphere, the setting, informs what happens in the story. And today we're talking about characters, that there's a development of characters over the course of the story. And what we're talking about today is the development of character in your life through Jesus Christ. And then next week we'll talk about conflict and following that resolution, but there's usually some sort of like angst that happens, something that happens where like, oh no, how are they going to get out of this one? I don't know. And then hopefully a resolution, and we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks' time. So one great thing about all of this, the COVID-19 things and not being in the building and things like that, has given us opportunity to do things a little bit differently. One of those things was to go out. We actually went out and we did the sermons from different places, and we were actually able to have people record the scripture reading and little testimonies and send them in, because we were putting together video and stuff like that. So this actually intended, I expected us to be still like apart through this series, and I asked people to do these testimonies. Adam Miller did one 2 weeks ago, an author. Last week, I think it was Mariah, our youth leader, talked about setting. And this week, we have Sigrid Nielsen talking about character development. So characters are the ones who make the action happen. Like that's the people, I think I just off the cuff said this last week, and I was corrected on it. Disney only uses animals and princesses in their movies, but that's not true. They have a broader character development than that. But there's a thing or a person that goes through and tells the story from their perspective. Good stories will include character development. Like, it's not just a static thing. The characters develop throughout the arc of the story, and your character is developing as well. There's usually hardship. There's difficulty. There's things that happen in the life of the characters. There's a change from the character from the beginning to the end. And not only that, sometimes you, as the story reader or the listener, actually change along with the story. Characters have a past that shapes their development. And maybe you don't get to read that, but you sort of assume it or learn it as the story goes on, that this character has something that is in their past that brings us to where they are now. And it helps us understand who they are. Now, here's the thing. You have a past, too. You have a history. You have a development that brought you to the point where you are now. Now, what I thought I would do, last week I showed some settings that were sort of popular or famous in stories, and we guessed those things. Now, I'm going to talk about backstories. I've got four or five characters here. I've stolen them from the superhero genre, because those backstories are kind of like the more famous ones. So we're going to see if you know what the backstories of each of these are. I've already had issue taken to one who had an advanced copy of my notes. But go ahead, Ben. Put this up here. The backstory for this guy, who is it, first of all? That's Spider-Man. What's his backstory? Peter Parker. His parents died. He's an orphan. He's kind of a weakling, right? I think I have him here as sickly, but he's not sickly necessarily, but he's the runt, you know? He's small, he's a little guy. But then what happens? He gets bit by a spider, and then suddenly he has all these super abilities that make him enabled to do whatever it is he can do, to be get his spidey sense, I guess. So that's his backstory. All right, here's another one. All right, can you see him? See who that is? I'm Batman. Yeah, it's Batman. Now, what's his backstory? What? His parents got killed. Also an orphan. Are we seeing a theme here? Okay, his parents were murdered. He witnesses it happen. And then he decides he doesn't really... Okay, some people take issue. He's not really a superhero. He just has cool toys, right? All right, so he gets to... I don't know how he makes his money, but he makes his money and he gets cool toys. All right, here's another one. He fights crime, of course. This guy. All right. Huh? Superman. Superman's backstory, do we know? He's also an orphan. Yes, because his home planet, right? What Krypton was destroyed, and so his parents sent him to Earth and all that. See, you guys know these stories. I'm impressed. All right, one last one. Who's that? Iron Man. Do you know his backstory? Also an orphan. Yes. Kidnapped, chest injury, and I had to look this one up, and he's like super smart, billionaire type, and they wanted him to develop a weapon, right? And instead he develops this thing that would help him have his superpowers or whatever. So look, there's a backstory for every character. Everybody has, you have a backstory. You can go on and on with this line of thinking, but we're not here for that. So there's a backstory. Last week we talked about the setting and how the setting informs your story. And you can't escape your setting. Also, you can't escape your backstory. It is what it is. It's there for you. It informs the limitations you have. It informs the superpowers that you have too. It is formative of your experience and who you are. It develops your character. So character development includes your backstory. It includes all the things that have happened in the past. So throughout this, I would like you that are here and you sitting at home or wherever you are, think about what is your backstory. What's your backstory? Where have you come from? What are the experiences that have shaped who you are? I wish that I had a cool backstory. Mine is this. I grew up on a farm in Croton, Ohio. And those of you from Licking County, you know that is not a cool backstory. There's not a lot going on with that. I grew up in Christian schools all of my life from kindergarten to my master's degree was all Christian schools. Not a lot of fun. In fact, my teenage rebellion was to go to a Baptist church. Ooh. So like that is not very exciting. But character development includes your past, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at just your past. It keeps going. It keeps growing. It keeps moving with you as you keep learning and growing. Now, your past informs your development of who you are now, but it does not limit your development of who you can become. Okay, might not have a great backstory. I might have some bad things in your life. It doesn't limit you. So we're going to hear from Sigrid Nielsen this morning. We met Sigrid at our cafe, Little Arrows Play Cafe. I had just such an amazing conversation with her that first time that she came in and hearing her story. She'd been all over the world and in the military. She's going to tell you a little bit about that. Now she volunteers at the Play Cafe, and when she's able to worship, she comes here to engage in York. So if you're able to roll that video, let's do that now.
Hi, my name is Sigrid. I first started coming to church here probably a little over a year ago. I found it through Little Arrows because I have two small children. And I wanted to share some of my story and how things have changed for me. But to do that, I have to tell you some about where I've come from. I was a young mother. I was a teenager. I got married, and I dropped out of high school, and at the time, I went to church, but things didn't go so well, and I needed to leave the marriage, and I didn't get a lot of support, so I began to be alienated from the church. I went on to get my GED, and one thing that always fueled me was people telling me I couldn't do something. So then I also, as a single mother, went and got my college degree. And all of that came from within. I did really, really well, and I went on to have a full scholarship and was looking at pre-med and medical school. And but it was tough. I had my own business and my two small children, and then 9/11 happened and kind of shook everybody's world. So I felt the call to join the Army and continue to pursue my medical dreams and becoming a doctor through that. A lot of people also said, there's no way you'll make it in the Army. It was everything from you're too small, you're not strong enough, to my goodness, you have a mouth and could not listen to directions to save your life. But I did really, really well. I promoted very quickly. I did great in the Army. I was a combat medic. And it was kind of a badge of honor to me to accomplish all these things that people told me I couldn't. But it was me proving something, I think, to myself, for myself, and I didn't realize what motivated me till much later. I got seriously injured while I was in the Army, and I spent long, long months, about 9 months in rehabilitation, and was told that I should probably leave the Army, and I fought it. I said, nope, you can't tell me I can't do something. I was told I might not walk again, all these things, but I did, and I stayed. But my stubbornness did more damage to me than I realized, and I continued to get worse. So finally, the Army said, we are retiring you. You don't have a choice. At this point in my life, I had felt like anything I decided to do, I was going to do and could do, and I had proven that to myself. So to me, this was crushing. I didn't know where I could go from here. I didn't understand why me deciding to do something wasn't working this time. So I got out. I was put into the VA system. I kind of lost hope and lost direction. I tried to go back to school a few times, but it seemed like every time I tried to get ahead, something else would happen. I got hit by a drunk driver and got a head injury and had to leave school. And I just felt like at that point, that there wasn't a God, and that if there was a God, it wasn't a God that I wanted, because how could all these horrible things happen to somebody who was trying to make the world a better place? So I just kind of continued. I accepted every medication the VA threw at me. I just kind of gave up, but kept living. And things went on. I was remarried. My older children grew up and moved out and went on to lead successful lives. And then we had two more little girls. And one night, out of the blue, life was just trucking along, going okay. Religion wasn't a part of it for me. I met God. There's no other way to explain that. My husband kind of laughed at me and thought it was my head injuries, but it was one of the most real, mind-blowing experiences I'd ever felt. And one thing I saw was that God was love. He was the love, the unconditional, intense love that I felt for my children, but for everybody. I could see it wrapping everybody. Even people that I would have considered the worst of the worst and unlovable, I could see that God was love, and even he loved and valued these people too. And at first for me, that was a struggle. I said, man, wow, that's amazing. This is incredible. I want to feel more of this. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know if I can be part of something that accepts all of this bad too. But it took time, and it started a dialogue within me where I started talking to God and saying, well, God, I want this, and I want to understand. So it wasn't overnight all of a sudden I was a Christian or my life changed. Well, it changed, but it was all these little steps and this dialogue that started where I kept saying, I want to understand, explain this to me, help me grow in this. And things slowly started to change, and things got better, and I could start to see the good and the love in things, and this realization that even when bad things had happened, that part wasn't God. God was the strength that I had to get through it. God was the good that came out of it. God was sometimes things I couldn't see where my struggles helped somebody else, and I would never know that. And I realized that, and I realized I was part of this bigger, beautiful pattern that maybe I could never see or understand, but I wanted to be a part of it and accept it. So things changed, and that doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything I wanted was given to me or any prayer I prayed, I was given answers, but I had also realized that that wasn't what it was about and that I was missing the mark when I was younger, expecting there to only be good coming out of religion or what I wanted to come out of religion. So one example, I guess, is we just found out we're expecting a baby boy, a healthy baby boy, despite everything, and we are very excited and feel very blessed after raising four girls to finally have a boy. But then several weeks into my pregnancy, I got the news that I was having some pain, and I had an ultrasound to look at it and found out that there is an abnormal growth on my liver. And I could feel myself, that could have been a point for me where I said, why? I'm trying to do all this right, I'm praying about it, and I'm scared, and how can this happen? I mean, but that was short-lived, because then I felt that peace where I asked God for help, I asked God for understanding, and I told him, I want to be a part of whatever your plan is, even if I can't understand it. And I knew that I was blessed to be where I am. I'm blessed to be in the country that I'm in. I'm blessed to have all these resources available to me to figure this out and fight whatever this is. And I will use every single one of them as a possible answer to my prayers. But if things don't go the way I want them to, if things get bad, that's okay too. And I realize that I'm not afraid anymore. I'm sure there's going to be times that I'm going to be afraid again and then I'm going to get upset. For me, it's not been an overnight change. It's been a process. But I'm okay, and I am happy, and I am blessed to be part of whatever this is. And I realized I never thought I did, but I have faith. I think that's what faith is that I know that somehow this is all good. And that's all I've got.
Okay. I appreciate Sigrid having the confidence to do that. It's not easy to give your testimony. Is this thing on? Am I on? Is it? Okay. Okay. I think you can hear in Sigrid's story the seeds of faith and the arc of her development of faith, and it's still growing, and it's still going. We had a text exchange, and she said most of this right there at the end. Here's what she said. I'll use every resource and tool available to me as an answer to prayer and remain grateful that I exist in a place where so much is available to me. Hopefully everything will be fine, but if it doesn't go how I'd like it to, I know deeply that God is good, and so is his design. Even if I can't grasp my role in all of this from my tiny perspective, I trust that whatever I go through has some ultimate beautiful work in his perfect design, even if I can't see it. I never really thought I had faith, but I guess that's what faith is. I love that. I guess that's what faith is. I think that, and I'm grateful to be alive and exist in this beautiful life no matter what, and that is peace. So I remember 2 years ago when Sigrid first came into the cafe, and we had this great conversation about some of the things she talked about. And I remember telling Donnie, like, you got to meet this girl. She's amazing. She's so cool. She has a great story, and she's willing to talk and share it and be vulnerable. And so her backstory, you see, has led to the character where she is now. All the good things and all the bad things all together have brought her to where she is now. And just like a setting, your backstory informs who you are now. It does not limit you to where you can go. So there's a couple things about character, and we're going to look in the Bible here with it, but two things I want to highlight about character. First is that it's developed. Character is developed. Every experience that we have develops our character a little more and a little more and a little more. So why is it, though, that it's the difficult things that develop our character the most? Have you ever noticed that? I know this from my childhood. I said I grew up on a farm. And Grandpa and Dad would be like, okay, you can go clean out the manure, or you got to be the one up in the haymow or whatever. And I'm like, why do I have to do that? Because it builds character. You know, that's what they would say. It builds character. Like, oh, why do those crappy things build character? On the hottest day you're out there, that builds character. You know, getting dumped by your girlfriend, character builder. Great. And not getting the job you wanted, build that character right up. Yeah. Study hard, flunk the test anyway. Character builder. Eating all the crust on your bread. Character builder. Clean your room, take out the trash, builds character. Now, normally, I think character building is just an excuse for parents to tell their kids to do the really terrible things, the things that parents don't actually want to do themselves. But even when good things happen, over time, slowly, it builds our character. It develops character. Characters develop. Here's the other thing. Character is revealed. So our response to experiences and circumstances reveals the character that has been developed within us. So two ways character is sort of revealed. One is under pressure. You know, in those moments of time where everything is going bad, the tense moments, the times where you simply react quickly to the situation at hand, that usually reveals your character. That's why, you know, we'll see this happen a lot in athletics where there's a tense moment in the game and something happens and then a bang-bang play happens and somebody might overreact or whatever, and it oftentimes will reveal their character even though the athlete themselves will say, hey, I'm sorry afterwards, I'm sorry it's not in my character. Well, apparently it is. It's you just did it. It's in your character. All right, so character is revealed in pressure moments when it's tense. And also, character is revealed when nobody's looking. You know, you hear that. When nobody's looking, can you cheat on your test or your taxes? Yeah, maybe. But will you? That's where your character comes into play. So character is always developing and always being revealed. Romans chapter 5, Apostle Paul, in the whole book of Romans, this is a letter to Rome, the whole book of Romans is his letter to Rome. It's a systematic theology, kind of really developing our faith. So it's pretty heavy theological stuff here and there. We're going to look at it through the lens of character development. This is Romans 5, chapter 5, 1 through 5. So, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access to faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So, a couple of things, if you want to create notes or whatever, or downloaded the notes we linked out to you. First thing is, character developed through peace with God. Verse 1. Character developed through peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So before you have peace with God, what does that mean? If you don't have peace, then you have angst. You have enmity with God. There is no relationship there. So let's look at each of the words and the concepts there. Justified by faith. Justified is a legal term, because when we don't have a relationship with God because of sin, because there's no peace, then we need to be justified. It doesn't negate the sin. The sin doesn't just, like, Well, I guess in a sense it washes away through Jesus Christ's blood, but it's still in your past. It has been part of the character that you have developed over time. But it just justified means you're squared with God. You're squared away with God, even though you've been found guilty. You're guilty, but you're square with God. So you're justified. And it happens through your faith in God to make it happen. So there's an old gospel song that I remember singing in college or somewhere. I don't remember where. We sing it all the time in the churches we went to. The chorus went, "Now I'm justified, just as if I'd never sinned as yet." Did you see like the little play on the words there? Justified, just as if I'd never sinned as yet. So God does that work. God does that work, but he won't do that work in you unless you have faith in him that he'll do it. That's the key. That's our role in it. Because of justification, though, we can have peace through Jesus. Now, do you know people who aren't peaceful people? You know, people who are like a little bit angry. They're always a little bit on the edge. They just go through life not doing well. Maybe because they don't have peace. So we have two character building blocks here. We have faith and we have peace. Faith is total reliance on God to provide for your spiritual and physical needs, brings you peace. When you're at peace with God, then you can start to have peace with others. Faith is just letting go of the things that you can control and just simply relying on God, which then leads to peace. Sometimes we think we can have peace in our hearts and our minds by controlling everything. Like if I can just control this bit, then I'll have everything calm and peaceful. But really, peace comes from letting go. Just letting those things go by having faith in God. We can get peace with God by letting go of our control of our relationship with God and trusting that God will just simply take care of us for our every need, especially the spiritual ones. He will justify us. So character is developed through peace. Secondly, character is developed through grace. Verse 2. Through him, who's the him? It's Jesus. Through him, Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have faith, obtained access to grace in which we stand. We have this access to grace. So obtained access. Now, it's like this, the verbs here are like present tense. It's a constant. The idea is the door is always open. I've obtained access, so now I can access it whenever I want to. Like the door doesn't close behind you after you've walked through it and stepped through it. Grace isn't done with you once you've experienced it. It continues to develop you and your character throughout time. And remember when stores used to be open 24/7? Remember those days? Like Walmart, you could go in anytime you wanted. It was like almost 4 months ago, I guess. It's crazy. Remember that? You know, those of you too young, you know. There used to be this thing. When we get 24/7 access. Used to be able to do that around here with things, but you can still do it with God. You still have 24/7 access to God's grace. It's kind of like on demand, so to speak. You can get it anytime you want. And then, so he says, obtained access to the grace in which we stand. In which we stand. It's a continual standing on it. We don't just stand on it once and then we step off. No, we stand on grace from here till eternity. When you have faith in God through Jesus Christ, grace is a constant and consistent presence in your life. More so than anything else, because humans will let you down, God is the one who can do this. Humans, we'll stop giving grace at some point. I'm a pretty graceful person. But after 3.5 hours at the BMV on Friday, I was so excited to teach my daughter how to drive, to be honest with you. I've been looking forward to this time frame for a very long time. And I said to myself, all these other parents who yell at their kids, they don't have grace. I got grace. I'm not going to yell at my child. She's going to be great anyway. And so 3.5 hours at the BMV, I'm already just a little on edge. And then so we go to a church parking lot to have her drive around. I think it was 27.2 seconds before I was yelling at her, not extending grace, although she did confuse the accelerator for the brake, but hey, we'll get through that. We'll get through that. Look, I was not able to extend grace. Humanity, we do not always do this. God's grace is accessible 24/7. He's always going to give it to you. I think we run out of patience at times. We don't have the consistency for grace, but God does. Grace can impact our character in one of two ways. One way is that we can relish it and receive it, which means then we pass along grace. If we've received grace, then we can pass along grace. But sometimes we just take it for granted and we keep abusing grace. We just keep taking it for granted, keep needing it over and over and over, and expecting other people to extend it to us. So we can develop character through peace through Jesus Christ and through grace. And now here's this last thing. Character is revealed through endurance. Character is revealed through endurance. This is verse 3 through 5. Here's like the golden chain of character development here. And it kind of goes back to what I said at the beginning of the message. Why do all the bad things that happen are the things that develop character in you? It says in verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Oh, great. The suffering. Here we go. All right. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So Paul acknowledges that not everything goes well all the time. Things aren't always easy. Life comes with difficulty and struggle, and suffering is the word he uses. You're going to face suffering. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have oppression, affliction, distress. Things aren't always puppy dogs and roses all the time. Sometimes cars break down and jobs get lost and arguments happen. Sometimes children don't do what you want them to do. Sometimes raccoons get in your trash and then you knock over an entire Lego box within 30 minutes of each other, clean all that up, and then spend 3.5 hours at the BMV. Those things happen. They aren't as bad as what some other people have, though. Doesn't feel like grace all the time. Sufferings happen. But here's the chain. Suffering produces. Now, I just want to say about this word produces, because a lot of different translations of the Bible will have different words here. But we'll use the word produces, the Greek word here. It just kind of does this like, could also be results in, achieves, accomplishes, or we'll just co-opt it for reveals. Suffering reveals endurance in our life. So suffering produces endurance. Now, this word endurance is actually the same Greek word that we had 2 weeks ago, something like hupomeno or something like that, that deals with this idea of perseverance, enduring over this. Now, over the last 5 or 6 years, I've had a whole bunch of surgeries and body parts removed. You'd think I'd have lost a lot of weight from it, but some of those surgeries are worse than others. They cause me pain, some of which I still suffer from. I still feel the pain from these things, the effects, but I've learned to endure them. I just get along with them. The suffering has produced endurance. Now, I've never learned endurance from pleasure. You just learn enjoyment from pleasure. You don't endure pleasure. You learn endurance from suffering. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character. This is our word right here. This is what our parents told us all along. You got to eat that crust on your bread. It'll produce character in you. Clean your room. It's character building. Pick up the dog poop. Character. But really, think back on your life when you have learned character. It's through learning endurance, through learning to be patient in circumstances, to be faithful in the moment of suffering. Look back on your past and see, where have you been able to learn character And where has your character been developed? And then here's this. Character produces hope. Character produces hope. It doesn't end with hope, but that's where the chain stops here for this. Hope is what puts us in the positive, optimistic mindset that God will give you more than what you can see. Yes, in this moment of suffering, I am enduring patiently, but I have hope. My character says, I have hope. I have the mindset of Jesus Christ that there is more than this to come. We can hope that we could build character by another path without suffering, but this is the biblical way. We wish there was easier paths. Let's build character through enjoyment and lasagna. You know, that would be great. It doesn't come that way. Character comes by this path. It's a biblical pattern. This path develops our character, and it reveals our character to be hope-filled in suffering, that we can have optimism in pain, that we can have joy in the face of persecution, in the middle of a tribulation and things are going poorly, we can have grace. He says in verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Character is something you develop over time but can be revealed in an instant. Have faith in God to develop your character through peace and grace. And then when the trials and the suffering and the difficulties and tribulations come, your character will be revealed to have hope and to be able to experience grace in it. So I urge all of us, let's be a people of hope. Let's be a people of optimism. In the midst of all the suffering that we see around us, especially in our country right now and across the globe, that we are a people of hope. There's too much negativity out there. I think if you look at your backstory and you think about your backstory, it's just too much to overcome. That you don't have anything going for you because your backstory is just too much. Too many bad decisions, too many bad things that happened to you. Too many things is that at the time it didn't seem like God was doing anything positive in you. God can write His story in you and develop your character, remake you and recreate you using your backstory to develop the character of Jesus Christ, His Son, in you. Let your true character be revealed. Have hope. Be positive and focused on God, who, as the author of your story, has the power to develop His character in you and in your story. Let us pray. God, we thank You for these words from Romans and from Paul, that he could, in the face of terrible persecution and sufferings, could have hope and have this character that You developed in him. We ask, God, that You would develop that same character into us, that we could have hope, that we could have confidence in You, that we would experience Your grace so much that we can't help but pass it along. So work that in us. Use our past, too. You develop that past so that character in us, the character of You is developed in us. Praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.